into the infamous Mitt Romney 47% remark. Brad Woodhouse of Americans United for Change.
The suggestion that we don't need to do anything to help people get better wages or get in the middle class. We just need you folks to work harder. It's disgusting. It's inappropriate. It shows how out of touch he is. It is the quintessential 47% comment of this campaign so far.
Linda Tirado is a former low-wage worker and author of Hand to Mouth, Living in Bootstrap America. She says American workers are already working harder than workers in any other industrial democracy.
And to say, you know, we just need you to put in another 10 hours. Well, honey, where are they going to come from? You point me to the good job store. You point me to the overtime. We will do it willingly. But don't tell me I have to go out and create that opportunity for myself and that it's a one-way discussion and that it's entirely on the workers of America to get this done. I think that there are solutions outside of just telling the American people that they're not working hard enough.
WIN is made possible in part through underwriting support from OPEIU and from the National Association of Letter Carriers. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The Council on American Islamic Relations and other Muslim groups are criticizing a federal judge for releasing Robert Daugherty on bail after Daugherty confessed to planning a, quote, Charleston-style massacre in a Muslim community in New York State. Daugherty is a white man from Tennessee and an ordained minister of the Christian National Church. The FBI began recording his phone calls after a confidential informant alerted them to threats he made via social media. He said in those calls that he wanted to use firebombs, an assault rifle with 500 rounds of ammunition, a pistol, and a machete to destroy a mosque, a kitchen, and a school in the community of Islamburg, promising to kill anyone in Islamburg who tried to stop him. A federal grand jury indicted Daugherty on Tuesday with one count of soliciting others to violate federal civil rights law. The law prohibits people from defacing, damaging, or destroying any religious property because of the religious character of that property. If convicted, Daugherty would face a maximum sentence of 10 years. Daugherty has been released on a $30,000 bond, drawing sharp criticism from the Council on American Islamic Relations. CARE says that Daugherty should remain in detention until a verdict is reached or, failing that the government should provide targeted Muslim communities with increased protection. The Confederate flag at the South Carolina State Capitol will be removed permanently tomorrow. Governor Nikki Haley signed the bill into law earlier today after the state house voted in favor 94-20. The flag had originally been put back in place last week after activist Bree Newsom scaled the flagpole to take it down and call for an end to racial injustice in the state and across the U.S. CNN interviewed Armstrong Williams, cousin of the late Reverend and State Senator Clementa Pinckney, about the removal of the flag.
And so we must bring people along to help them understand that symbols are very important. They can cause people to do some unbelievable things, and what that terrorist was able to do to those families and to one of their very own colleagues, my cousin Clemente. This is very personal for many of these legislatures, and at least for the very least for them, they have to show leadership and say it is time to move on from this flag and discuss the issues that can really move South Carolina continuously forward.
South Carolina representatives debated the issue for nearly 13 hours before eventually voting to remove the flag.
Scientists at the Plymouth Marine Laboratory in the UK have recently observed plankton eating plastic waste underwater. Plankton usually eat pieces of algae, but the researchers found that they can mistake small fragments of plastic waste for food. This makes it harder for plankton to digest normal food and could hurt plankton populations in affected areas. Researchers are also concerned about bioaccumulation. Predators which feed on plankton also take in all the plastic the plankton eats, clogging up their digestive tracts as well. With about 8 million metric tons of plastic being dumped into the world's oceans each year, this news could have serious consequences for the ocean's food chain.
Economic turmoil continues in Greece as the Mediterranean country approaches a Sunday deadline. Yesterday, the Greek government applied for a 3-year loan from the Eurozone bailout fund and closed Greek banks, effective until tomorrow. Greek citizens can still use ATMs, but can only withdraw $60 a day. If a deal is reached, then Greece would remain in the eurozone and secure a 3-year loan to continue to operate. But the terms of the loan would likely include strict austerity measures, which would restrict public spending, which many economists say would drive Greek unemployment even higher. More than 1 in 4 Greek citizens are unemployed, and for young Greeks, the number is 1 in 2. If a deal is not reached by Sunday, however, it would likely mean that Greece would have to leave the eurozone and switch currencies back to the drachma. This could mean that Greek currency would lose most of its value on international markets, which would make life extremely difficult for Greek import and export companies. Greece depends on international markets for 65% of its trade goods, so such a sharp decline in exchange rate would have dire economic consequences for ordinary Greeks.
And now, the latest news and developments from the occupied territories in Palestine from the International Middle East Media Center in Bethlehem.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center for Wednesday, July 8, 2015. Palestinians mark the first year since last summer Israeli war in Gaza. Meanwhile, in the West Bank, soldiers raid homes and kidnap 10 civilians. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. Israeli soldiers kidnapped on Wednesday 10 Palestinian civilians during invasions and home searches targeting a number of West Bank communities. Several military vehicles invaded different parts of Hebron City, Beit Awa town and Al-Arub refugee camp before the soldiers stormed a number of homes and searched them. Troops left after kidnapping 5 men. Moreover, 4 Palestinian civilians were kidnapped when Israeli soldiers searched and ransacked homes in the southern West Bank city of Bethlehem and nearby Nahalin town. In northern West Bank, Israeli troops searched homes in Nablus City and kidnapped 1 man. 2 more men were kidnapped when troops attacked homes in central West Bank city of Ramallah on Wednesday at dawn. In other news, the Palestinian Political Prisoner Society, PPS, has reported on Wednesday that the prison administration of the Negev Israeli military detention camp forced the hunger-striking detainee into solitary confinement. Daoud Hamadan from the West Bank city of Bethlehem started his strike 4 days ago protesting the administrative detention policy without charges or trial. Hamadan was kidnapped on June 3, 2014 and was placed under renewed administrative detention orders. The detainee was frequently kidnapped and imprisoned by Israel, spending more than 8 years in Israeli prisons and detention centers, including being held without charges for extended periods. Also on Wednesday, the Palestinians marked the 1 year since last summer Israeli war in Gaza. According to a recent report by the UN Office of the Coordination of Human Rights Affairs, OCHA, Israel's 51-day offensive on Gaza last year was the deadliest and the most destructive escalation since 1967. In July and August of last year, more than 2,260 Palestinians were killed and 11,000 were injured, mostly women and children. According to OCHA, 1 year have passed and still more than 100,000 people remain displaced because some 12,500 destroyed homes cannot be rebuilt because Israel restricts the importing of building materials. Moreover, the report shows that 120,000 people in Gaza cannot reach water and 80% of the 1.5 million Gazans relies on humanitarian aid. And that's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Wednesday, July 8, 2015 news roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by Doro Shmawi and me, Ghassan Bandura.
In the past few weeks, the Dominican Republic has sent tens of thousands of Haitian migrants back to Haiti. The Permanent Council of the Organization of American States met today to discuss a controversial law that allows the Dominican Republic to deport Haitians en masse and even retroactively strip Dominican citizenship from persons of Haitian descent born on Dominican soil. Free Speech Radio news reporter Shannon Young has more.
The Dominican Republic has deported an estimated 40,000 Haitians since a deadline to confirm legal immigration status expired. At least another 200,000 Haitians or Haitian Dominicans face the same fate. A 2013 Dominican court ruling allows authorities to retroactively strip citizenship from people born on Dominican soil if they do not have at least one Dominican parent, which critics say will create a stateless population. It's a situation Haiti's Foreign Minister Lene Renault calls a humanitarian crisis. Speaking through an official translator, Renault asked OAS representatives to send a mission to Hispaniola, the island it shares with the Dominican Republic, and to take a position on the issue.
Hermanas y hermanos.
Brothers and sisters, because we are, for better or worse, we're condemned, as it were, to share the earth. Condemned to share the same island, the same blue sky above us, the same blue sea. This is our destiny. We are condemned to living together. So we're not asking for any favors, nor have we come here to beg, to ask for mercy in any way. We came here simply to demand justice. Justice from our brothers. Justice for our sisters.
OAS Permanent Representative of the Dominican Republic, Pedro Verges, bristled at the criticism, saying that immigration policy is a sovereign affair. He said his country had given Haitian migrants a fair chance to submit their paperwork and blamed the Haitian government for failing to properly provide its citizens with the necessary identification documents.
Ladies and gentlemen, no one, absolutely no one, can ask the Dominican Republic to shoulder the responsibilities of another state.
That's Dominican Representative Verges speaking through an OAS real-time translator. He said Haiti has long been in a crisis situation and that it isn't fair to expect the Dominican Republic to bear a disproportionate burden.
We are perhaps affected most directly and dramatically from the constant crisis in Haiti, a crisis that we believe does not have any end in sight on the short term. That said, we see as unfair any statement that portrays our country as a monster seeking to unleash uncivilized tactics. And those who heard my last statement, I hope you understand it. Everything has a limit.
Verges denied that what's happening now at the border is mass deportation, instead referring to the large-scale transfers as voluntary repatriations. Via interpretation, Haitian Foreign Minister Renault differed.
We were present at Canada Day, celebrating Canada Day in Haiti, when the alarm came to us that the fact that as at 1 a.m., Haitians were being dumped across the border now. How is that possible? You think that that's a voluntary departure, that you depart at 1 in the morning?
While many OAS states took a middle ground stance, the bloc of Caribbean nations known as CARICOM took a more firm position.
If indeed these persons were Haitians who have been voluntarily self-deporting en masse, then it is because of the climate of violence and fear which has been generated in the Dominican Republic.
Omari Setu Williams is the deputy head of mission from the Caribbean nation of St. Vincent and the Grenadines.
Unlike some countries that have remained mute on this issue, St. Vincent and the Grenadines cannot and will not remain silent on this issue, which violates the basic tenets of human rights. This is simply not a bilateral issue or an issue of a sovereign nation. It is indeed a matter of human dignity, and the egregiousness of the Dominican laws is reflected in the justifiable international outrage in response to the laws.
Both Haiti and the Dominican Republic welcomed the proposal to host an OAS delegation to observe the situation at the heart of the dispute. Just when that mission will occur has yet to be determined. For FSRN, I'm Shannon Young.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Shade Samuelson, Kelly Walsh, Ryan Stroyer, Alan Monticillo, and Doug McVeigh. The producer is Sam Bowman. Our engineers are Jenka Soderberg and Del Crescenzo. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River 91.9 FM. I'm Sarika Mehta.
And I'm Doug McVeigh. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO, at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, on Positively Revolting Talk Radio, host Lynn Mullick speaks with organizers Tori Abernathy and Mara Zussmans and Jamondia Harris of Black Lives Matter PDX about the 3rd Portland Renters Assembly and the strategies of Portland renters fighting for housing justice. At 9 is Democracy in Motion. This week, the Women Donors Network Network's Reflective Democracy Campaign issued a report showing white Americans hold 95% of elected prosecutor positions. Why are candidates for these elected positions so often running unopposed? Host Lisa Loving speaks with Benton County Prosecutor John Haroldson, Oregon's first Mexican-American district attorney. She also speaks with Andrea Steele, founder of Emerge America. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11 on The Digital Divide, in the early 1960s, Marshall McLuhan